have my Bible open to Matthew chapter 20. Please turn with me there, or you can see the text on the screen, on the projection there. Please hear the inerrant, inspired word of our holy God. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, and to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first and the first last. Pray the Lord add his blessing. Bless us as we have heard this read word, and we now dig into the parable of the laborers in the vineyards. When some are asked, are you going to heaven? Well, you can imagine there are many answers. I look for one positive answer, I hope. But you might hear some like this in response to that question. I hope so. I believe my good outweighs my bad. I believe I've done well. I've been good to folks. I think I deserve heaven because my good stack is taller than my bad stack. I've been good to folks. Why would I not? Well, please realize when you hear an answer like this, they are basing their answer in an area of merit. I've earned a certain place. I've worked for it long enough that I should. And so they're speaking of their accomplishments and meriting God's favor. Well, please know that our accomplishments, our merit, will not get us to heaven. If anything, the teaching of this parable of the vineyards seems to teach us that the exact opposite is true. Jesus said, the first shall be last and the last first. These vineyard workers, especially those gentlemen hired in the morning, they did not like hearing that. But Jesus said, why should I not be able to treat you as equals? Certainly not what they wanted to hear. It's harvest time in our story. The gentleman who owns the vineyard, the master of the home, goes out into the marketplace to hire workers. This is a common means of gaining employment in this day. Standing in the marketplace identifies one as ready to work. And so the landowners would come in at the time they would need and pick up whatever numbers of workers that they would need for the day and take them back, and they would work. I can remember my grandfather on his small farm. would drive into town about 6:30, and if there was someone standing on that particular corner, he would hire those two men. They'd go in and work for him, and he'd take them back in the evening. This standing at the marketplace looking for a job would be very similar to us going to the North Carolina Employment Security Commission and saying, I want a job. They were standing there waiting to be employed. The landholder hires the men. He goes on 5 different occasions, which is telling, and we'll dig into that in just a moment. Pays the men, hired at different times throughout the day, pays each of them the same pay, denarius, which was the pay for the day, but it was a very ample pay for the day. And so this landowner was generous. Now, as Jesus tells this parable, this story of the vineyard, the landowners, please understand the total reversal of cultural norm that Jesus is teaching these folks who are listening. He is turning cultural norm on its head. And there are several subgroups within this community, I am sure, had very, very great issues with this teaching. The Jewish community as a whole would have responded very harshly to this, because they prided themselves in keeping the law, which made, in their eyes, them the premier cultural section of the class of the community. And here, seemingly, the landowner is going to the Gentiles, those who were the servant class, working in the field, and treating them all as equals. The Pharisees did not like this teaching at all. They prided themselves as religious icons. They prided themselves in their position in the culture, and many of them bought their way into that pharisaical position. Their money got them into the higher ranks of this religious class. You see, the Pharisees saw themselves as elite among the common people. This parable goes against all of that teaching. One might think that the disciples themselves might have had a bit of an issue with this, because as we will learn in next week's sermon, there were those disciples who thought they should be more prominent than other disciples, and certainly more prominent than some in the community. They're following Jesus. They should have a more prominent role. As I said, we will learn more next week. This might even upset the common church member. The church of that day, and I'm quite sure the church of this day. There are those that have spent their entire lives in the church. Their entire lives given to building the church. Their entire ambition to be in the church and build that church up. But yet here comes this new believer. Here comes this new member. And they have the same class, the same status as that long timer. Many have issue with that. I've been here all my life. My grandma's buried in the cemetery out there. I have place and position here. And this person has the same? Yes. Little Addie here, as member of this church, has the same, has the same state, same place in this church as, I believe, Mr. Wayne Wall, our oldest member, equals. How can that be? How can that be? But our Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching on the kingdom of heaven has turned all of this teaching upside down, because you see, there is no place for merit in heaven. There is no place for my accomplishments in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like this vineyard owner. The first will be last. The last will be first. A picture in my mind, when I'm getting to heaven, I'm probably going to be the one that gets to hold the door open for everybody else going in. I'll just be there holding the doors and y'all come on in. And what will be so shocking is you look out back and Billy Graham is taking out the trash. That's what this is teaching. The thief on the cross that only knew Jesus Christ a matter of moments before he passed from this earth will be sitting right here on the front row, because we're all equal in heaven. Our accomplishments here mean nothing. Let's dig a little deeper, because the actions of this vineyard owner, as is given in parables, is a foreshadow or is a telling of the character of the one of which this story is about, and it is our Lord Jesus Christ. There's three actions I'd like to bring to your attention. One, the landowner, he himself goes out to hire the workers. Why did he not send the foreman? He told the foreman to pay them. But why did he not send the foreman to go get the workers? Here, this gentleman, the landowner, he himself went out. He brings in the workers to the vineyard. He calls them to be involved in his work. He cares for the people. He himself goes out to bring the workers, to bring the servants, to bring those that will be a part of his vineyard. He doesn't send another. He calls them himself. Secondly, as stated before, the employer pays them all the same. Now, this is confounding. It doesn't fit our economic structures of mind thinking. But here it reveals the incredible generosity of this landowner. Not only did he pay the one that worked 1 hour more, but even the denarius for a day was a generous pay for a day's work. You see, he cares more. He cares more for the person than he does for his own bottom line. Those of us who are supervisors, those of us who are managers, those of us who own our own business, please take into consideration the generosity and the care this landowner gives to his people. And then thirdly, look at the response of this man, the landowner, to the one who was grumbling. Look with me at verse 11. And on receiving it, they grumbled, the one who hired in the morning, at the master of the house, saying, "These last work only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But look at the owner's response. Look at the landowner's response given to us in verse 13. He addresses him as friend. How do we as Christians go into and address those who have altercation with us? Matthew 18 teaches us that we are to go to those who have issue with us, and we are to clear them up. But how are we to address them? How are we to address those who have issue with us? Three different times in text, it's noted that Jesus addresses those that are confrontational to him as friend. How disarming. How disarming. He then also, for the matter of justice, directs this gentleman's attention to the contract. Verse 13, "Friend, am I doing you no wrong? Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me?" Here, this gentleman entered into a contract, rightly, of sober thought and mind, we would assume, agreed to work for the day. At the end of the day, the contract was being honored by this gentleman. Yet this man wants him to deny the contract and pay him more. He is accusing the employer of doing wrong when he's upholding the contract, and then encouraging him to do wrong by paying more than the contract calls for. But this landowner stands his ground. Folks, this is a teaching of ethics. This is a teaching of ethics. When we make a contract, we stand to it. When we make an agreement with someone, we stand to it. If someone else gets more money than we do, then maybe we need to be a little bit better in our contractual negotiations next time. This is ethics. Do what you said you would do, and hold others accountable for what they said they would do. But verse 15 is the point of the entire parable. Verse 15. I just read it. "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me?" See, here the landowner, the employer, is allowed by ownership to do with those of which he owns whatever he desires. this landowner, he's a very generous man, and he can do exactly what he wishes with that of which he owns. Now, let's remember the context. Remember our Lord Jesus' teaching. Back in verse 1, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." This entire illustration is about the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, this is what you will find: justice, equality, generosity. How many of you in this room would actually like to be paid equitably toward the service of which you have given the Lord Jesus Christ? We all pray we better pray he's generous. The story of the kingdom of heaven is here. The master is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's dealing with his people in a way that he himself chooses. This is his creation. This is his world. We are his people. You say, how can he choose some and maybe not? Who are we to question? The question should be, why would he choose any of us? Who are we, the pots, the clay, the clump laying there, yelling at the pot maker, "I don't like what you made me"? Well, you know my line. I hate it for you. We are the workers. We have been called to work in his vineyard. Now, here is an incredible point that is easily passed over. Matthew Henry brings it out beautifully. He says, "Till we are hired into the service of God, we are standing all day idle in our sinful state. The marketplace is the world, and from that we are called by the gospel. Come, come from this worldly market and come into the service of the master. Come into the service and work for the Lord God." Matthew Henry points out that we are not in service until we are called for service by God. The generosity of our Lord is seen here. No matter what time you are called into service, the thief on the cross called in his last minute. Some of you have been Christian for 70 years. Equal. You see, this teaching is a parable that is a response to our normal way of thinking. And it should affect our thinking. Here in the church, our treating of each other should be equal. David Sides is known as the patriarch of this church, and we all give him that place of honor. But he's no better in God's eyes than the one that might receive Jesus Christ today. We are all equals. We should treat each other as equals. Merit will not be that thing that gets us to our place in heaven. Paul teaches the same point theologically that Jesus is teaching in this parable. In Ephesians chapter 2, he writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this no work of your own. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." The gentleman, the first one hired in the morning, was boasting. "I've been here all day. I'm tired." "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand." Also in Romans chapter 5, we read, "More have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." Grace, God's grace. It is truly by the grace of God alone that anyone of earth's created will find heaven. There's not one in this room or standing in this pulpit that their stack is even. It is by grace. It is by grace. I entitled the sermon, "Oh, the Generosity of Heaven." You know, I think we'll get to heaven walking down the street and we're going to see someone and go, "Are you serious? They're here? I'm sure of it." Our own pompous way of thinking, "He made it? That grace must be a big thing. Here during this Christmas season, we will sing many things about the wonder of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember and celebrate the coming of grace in that little child. Here we see him as a grown man teaching. But that event that we will celebrate here in a couple of weeks, a couple of days, was that beginning of that grace being revealed. And just as he came as a lowly, lowly child, Jesus Christ is referred to as the firstborn of God. He is the first of all things. And yet he found himself probably in the last place you would look for a Savior. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. The first will be last, and the last will be first. You guys sitting on the back row, I hope in heaven y'all get custom sitting on the front row. You will be. Judy will be on the back.